In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. In this morning's readings, in both the Gospel and in the Epistle, we hear of two communities that have gone off the rails and gone astray. In the Gospel passage this morning, Jesus gives this very striking and disturbing parable in order to speak to the Jews and to speak most especially to the scribes and the Pharisees that are going after him, to really look at themselves and see, are they really the holy, God-fearing people that they are, that live according to the, not just the letter, but the spirit of the scriptures, or are they really selfish and rapacious, and they really want to take what belongs to someone else or belongs to God and take it among themselves? Now, this morning also in the epistle reading, St. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing to the parish that he founded in Corinth, which is very much a small the parish of the city, just like our parish here of St. Sophia is the parish of the city of Bellingham. Now, St. Paul founded this community. He spent a lot of time with them. He taught them how the scriptures, he taught them the gospel about Jesus Christ. He taught them how to live. He taught them how to worship. Perhaps he taught them even how to celebrate the liturgy and the sacraments that they celebrate and we celebrate today. And then they brought him joy. And as we know of St. Paul, he would found a community, get it going, get people to be in charge of it, and then he would move on somewhere else to build another community someplace else. So St. Paul had founded this church in Corinth, and then he left it, and he's doing his work elsewhere, and he receives a letter of some kind, a report of what's going on in the community, and he found out this news that made him very sad, and made him very concerned for the spiritual life and the salvation of everyone in the city of Corinth. Because the church in Corinth that started off so innocent and sweet and working together had gone off the rails. He heard about some very scandalous behavior. In fact, he heard of a serious moral decline. And the low point, I suppose, of this moral decline is that he heard of a stepmother that was having relations with her stepson. And St. Paul dealt with that. He gave instructions on what to do. On this, he said, actually, out of love, we need to have those two people put out of the community for a while so that they can realize the seriousness of their sin, so that hopefully they'll repent and come to their senses and come back. And in fact, in the second letter of Corinthians, St. Paul says to welcome back these two people if they have repented. Another thing he heard about is he heard about this general puffed up matter, this character of certain people, at least in this community, that thought, oh, we're so great, we know so much, we have so much knowledge, we're the elites, we're so great. And then they also heard of another problem where these people were then treating other people differently. These elites were acting one way and keeping the best portions and parts for themselves. And when it came to the poor, they were treating them differently. And most especially that upset St. Paul is they were doing this during the agape meal, which is akin in the first century to the communion, to the worship service, the communion, the Eucharist. And he said, you can't do that. How could one person treat in the community your brother or sister in Christ and treat them as a lesser person, as a second-class citizen? And then another thing that he heard is that there were many disagreements, many factions, many arguments, many disagreements so sharp. And this is the part that really got St. Paul the most, is that they were taking their problems not to the church, so the church can and the leaders of the community could be the mediator somehow, but they were taking them to the secular courts. They were taking them to the pagan courts, to the courts of the Romans. And you can imagine that this was not a good look for anyone. It was not preaching the gospel to anyone else, to anyone, both within the church and outside the church, by having these arguments and petty factions over petty worldly manners and brought outside. So St. Paul wrote this letter that we have today. And he wrote this letter that has many, many famous expressions and sayings that I recommend you read and learn and memorize them. And he chastised them because he loved them. He said, summary of what he said, "You have forgotten, the Corinthians, what you've gathered for. You've forgotten what I, St. Paul, have taught you. You've forgotten Christ. You put the worldly matters before Christ. You forgot the mission of your community, which is to be together and to follow Christ, to imitate his way and to imitate his teachings and become like him and be led by him to the kingdom of heaven. You've forgotten the life of repentance and returning to God," right? And he says, in a summary of other things he said, "You have forgotten your first love, which is Jesus Christ. And instead, when we forget Christ, any group of people, it can even happen, God forbid, to our community here, that if we forgot our first love, Jesus Christ, it is very easy, it is a very slippery slope to come and fall into getting at each other and to nitpicking about all these different things and to complain about other things and to gossip. We'll gossip what gossip does to a community when people tell falsehoods out of judgment and out of pride and out of arrogance, spreading falsehoods so that other people will hear the falsehood and also be led off of the trail. So St. Paul is highlighting the danger to this community, and he's giving advice, again, to remember our first love, who is Jesus Christ, and to imitate him and be like him. And finally, we get to this passage we have today, these final instructions. And he says a few things in this vein. He says, "Watch, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong." This word, "be watchful," in the Greek comes from the verb grigorevo, which sometimes it could be vigilant, it can mean stand fast, but also it means the meaning of the word means to be awake, be aware, be watchful. I know we have some soccer fans out here. Be like the goalie who wants to protect that goal against not only, first of all, be protective towards something, be watchful to Christ, to his way, imitate him, imitate his saints. It's also be watchful against ourselves most importantly, but also people who want to distract us and pull us off the path with all kinds of various nonsense and vain things. If we are not watchful to Christ, we will very easily, in fact, it's guaranteed that we will stumble and our salvation becomes in jeopardy. So he says, stand fast, be watchful, stand fast, be courageous, so that you're not susceptible to things like gossiping, judgment, comparing other people, giving in to little things here and there, holding on to sins that get done against us, saying, I won't forgive, or I will be right at whatever costs. I want to, rather than repenting of my sins, I want to expose other people's sins. All this is faith poisoning. The Orthodox faith is intentional. It's not passive. We're not going to accidentally fall into the kingdom of heaven. Every single step that we make is done intentionally, thoughtfully, imitating Christ, becoming humble, learning humility, learning to love one another, putting up with other people's faults. Even sometimes if we see something that is not quite right, many, many fathers in the history of our church, they would go and even hide someone else's sins in order to help them to repent and keep them within the flock, hoping never to drive anybody out of the community. Because this is what a mature Orthodox Christian church does. It remembers to follow our Savior. It remembers to follow the way to heaven. It remembers to be merciful as the Lord is merciful to us, and to put up with one another, and to love one another, and to always think of the highest of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, so much so that we can never believe that other person commit a sin and also believe that we are the first of sinners, as St. Paul even said of himself. He said, "I am the chief of among sinners." And then also St. Paul concludes. He says, "Let all things be done with love." Let all things be done with love. Now, I was trying to encapsulate what that would mean. And I remember an example in the seminary. There was one of my classmates who is a priest now, and I'm a priest now, where none of us are perfect. And this priest had a big mouth. He'd talk about everybody. Talk about everything. Oh, and that person did wrong. He used to go around going, "Kakos, kakos," whenever he saw something that is not right. And I remember one time he said something that was right. And because he was so obnoxious, that the wrong looked better than the right. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes people can be so obnoxious that they make the right look wrong, and they make the wrong look right. Because it's not enough just to do the right and to point out the right. We need to do things with love and with discernment and with compassion and with mercy and with patience. It's better to do even the wrong thing sometimes, one father said, than to do something out of love. Now, don't go out and do things wrong. Don't listen to that part. But listen to what St. Paul is saying. Do all things out of love. Let all things be done with love. And then he gives these examples. He says here, he mentions some names, Stephanos and his family. He says, be like Stephanos. Submit to men like Stephanos. Now, who is Stephanos? I don't know who Stephanos is, because his name's only mentioned in this letter. Some commentators say perhaps Stephanos was the one who wrote to St. Paul out of fear and out of just wanting St. Paul's direction on what to tell him, what's been going on in this community in Corinth, and to please send some kind of help or give some kind of direction. And St. Paul says, be like Stephanos. And St. Paul says, be like some other men and women that he mentioned in this epistle. He said, why? And he says why, St. Paul says. He says, because these ones refreshed me. He says, these ones refreshed my spirits. Now let's think about this word refreshment. We know what it means in English. It means on a hot day when we're thirsty, we get a nice cool drink that relieves us, that makes us comfortable, that kind of gives us back our life and our energy and our ability to go on, right? Now, that's what it means in English. Now, the word in Greek, the word for refreshment is anapavo. Anapavo. For those who know Greek and know the memorial service, we say anapavson. Give rest to the servant of God who has fallen asleep. Now, this word anapavo is translated into the English as refresh. Now the word ano, it's a double word. The word ano means up. Up. The word pavo means rest. It means to stop. In fact, the word pause in English comes from the word pavo. So this way, these people refreshed. They were at rest. They are in Christ. They have a prayer life. Their life is being changed. They treat others with love and respect and mercy and compassion. They are people that you can look to, and they will lift you up, and they will make you feel better. Be like that person, St. Paul says. Now, we are blessed in this community because there are many people that even I, the priest, sometimes I get all worked up and tangled up and all these things. I think of a few people that are even here in this church today that give me rest, that give me, that refresh me, that put me back on track, that keep me remembering why we're doing all of these things. Because sometimes even this little parish could be a little, not a hurricane, that's too strong, a little tornado, right? And we need to remember the straight and the proper and the good things, and remember those people who are give us rest and refreshment, and hopefully we'll all be like that someday. And if we are like that, God bless you. And if you're not like that yet, please don't give up. Please keep trying. And remember the positive things, our first love that has been given to us, purchased at a high price. And may we always look to Christ as our example of mercy and compassion, and using power and authority to help and lift up and save one another. And may we never be those who tear other people down, knowingly or unknowingly, through things like gossip and passing on untruths and complaining against other people and not trying to change ourselves.